Namaste and welcome to Yoga for Peace, a 501c3 nonprofit educational organization dedicated to promoting yogic principles, philosophy, and practice. I am your host, Rosalind Earle, and on today's Yoga for Peace program, we have the honor of speaking with Yogi Shanti Desai. Born in Gujarat, India, Yogi Shanti Desai studied yoga and yoga scriptures, practiced meditation and spiritual discipline from an early age. Shanti was initiated in his youth by his guru, Swami Kripalu. Yogi Shanti Desai is an awakened yoga master and a New Age revolutionary thinker. His wisdom is the result of practicing yoga, living with awareness and contentment, and being rooted in the self. He has a vision of personal awakening and transformation that can lead to global transformation. Shanti has taught thousands of students and has trained many yoga teachers. He has written many books on yoga based on his personal practice and teaching experiences. Shanti's teaching is also based on his personal practice and a lifetime of successful integration of yoga in everyday life. His teachings are dynamic, creative, scientific, and practical, and suitable for all ages, physical conditions, and social and religious backgrounds. Shanti is not a missionary looking to convert others, nor is he a guru looking to lead followers. He teaches personal transformation, expansion of consciousness, universality, and selfless service that can lead to global transformation. He has authored 10 books, most recently The Secret of Bliss, which will be available this summer. Yogi Shanti Desai will be lecturing at Eastside Yoga in Austin on May 20th, and on May 21st through the 22nd, he will be at Mind Body Yoga in Austin for a weekend intensive based on his new book, The Secret of Bliss. Welcome to Yoga for Peace, Shanti.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Well, we'll just start with some basic questions. My first question is, you were initiated by your guru, Swami Kripalu. What other teachers were influential in your personal growth?
Yes. I studied with my guru, and along with that, I met many, many masters and all kind of contacts. The main masters I relied on, Swami Vivekanand, Mahatma Gandhi, Mother Teresa, Peace Pilgrim. These are the people who were serving humanity selflessly. So I liked scientific approach and also those who were serving selflessly. Their life was like open book. Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi said, "My life is my message." They really lived the philosophy. Mm-hmm. So, and meditation, going inward and focusing on the original teaching of the scriptures, I got good, deep insight. And as I applied those principles and used in teaching and consulting many students, I got more enlightened.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. So your students are your teachers as well. I understand
exactly,
that.
Exactly, yes, yes. More I teach, more I learn. Matter of fact, I get inspired as I teach, no matter whatever level. And as they ask more challenging questions, I bring out the explanation of the scriptures more in a contemporary way.
When you speak of the scriptures, you're speaking of the
Vedanta, Bhagavad Gita, Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, mm-hmm. and all the scripture, Bhagavatam, and all this I am interpreting in the new book, The Secret of Bliss.
Oh, very good. Since you've been in the West for quite a while and you've beginning to interpret some of the ancient scriptures to a more modern audience, how can we as Westerners balance the aspects of material and spiritual life?
Yes, this is the greatest misunderstanding, what is material life and what is spiritual life. There is no separation of material life and spiritual life. It is the intention and priority that matters. So really, world is a school, and spiritual lessons are learned through the school. So material life is the foundation for spiritual life. So understanding this basic difference, one can use material life as a means to find spiritual end. If one has a wrong awareness, one can use spiritual life to fulfill material goal. So really, material and spiritual life work together by clarity of goal. And then one has to live in the world, so one has to learn to have simplified life, to simplify life and create surplus. So survival, pleasure and social life takes least amount of time, and more time is available for spiritual life. So this is how material life could be balanced. So the principle is used called skillful action. In scripture they say yogah karmasu kaushalam. Skillful action is yoga. Skillful action is spirituality. The question is, what is skillful action? Mm-hmm. Action that is done so skillfully that a least amount of time is wasted and maximum gain is attained. But again, we look at skillful action, it doesn't refer to spiritual aspect, because a thief or a robber could be very skillful that he will steal and won't get caught. So real skillful action here means performing the actions that don't contaminate your consciousness. Performing the action as an instrument so it doesn't disturb your peace. So skillful action is performing the action, and after performing the actions, surrendering the fruits of action to God. And this is the teaching of scriptures. Okay, so
how does one develop the skillful action?
Skillful action is the practice of karma yoga. You know, the one has to perform own duty. Whatever one has to do is a natural personal duty. It's called swadharma. So one performs own duty to please God instead of for selfish gain. So if one is a teacher, one teaches out of love and to please God instead of just the reward. Reward comes by itself. So skillful action is being more dedicated to whatever is the duty. So skillful action means doing everything we have to do with love.
Acting in this skillful way with total dedication, we create less karmic residue, is that what?
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So all the actions produce residue called sanskara. So one does skillful action and is not attached to the results. One doesn't produce those subconscious impression, and one becomes free from sanskara. So one does the action but doesn't get influenced by the consequences.
Yeah.
Also, for skillful action, one needs to meditate, go inward and find inner connection, so one gets guidance and inspiration in performing skillful actions.
Yes, I would think that the meditation would be a very important part of developing that attunement to skillful action.
Exactly.
You speak a lot about living a holistic lifestyle. How do you describe a holistic lifestyle, and what is required?
Yes. Holistic means the total, body, mind, and spirit. Life involves dealing with the world. So dealing with the world, living in harmony with the world, or practicing dharma, or performing the duty which is in line with universal rhythm. In yoga, it is called yama and niyamas, which are 10 commandments of spiritual discipline, which is the foundation. Also, we exist as a physical body. We exist as energy and senses. We exist as mind and emotions. Also, we exist as intellect. And beyond that, we exist as consciousness. And this individual consciousness is connected with supreme consciousness. So holistic means connecting all these aspects of our being and integrating them together so we become wholesome. So holistic approach is to use all the faculties and directing inward to find inner guidance.
Is one of your books dedicated to guiding one on how to live a holistic lifestyle?
Yes. The basic book, Holistic Yoga Practice Manual, that I wrote, that covers all the aspects. So holistic aspects include proper nutrition, proper exercises, that is yoga position, proper elimination, that is 6 cleansing techniques of yoga to clean the body, along with that deep relaxation, positive mental attitude, and also positive affirmations. So, and a deep relaxation, deep breathing, all this together can be considered holistic aspect. Meditation also is part of the holistic approach.
Very good. So what was the name of that book again?
Yoga Holistic Practice Manual.
You've also written a book entitled Personal to Global Transformation. So how does personal transformation translate into global transformation?
Yes. Everything starts from within. So if one gains the strength, one becomes available to the family and society. So many times people go out in the world and help the society, and they try to help masses of people and ignore themselves. So they fall apart. You know, it's just like somebody who feels compassion for somebody who is drowning in a swimming pool. One watches that and one feels compassion and jumps into water to save. What happens? He realizes that he doesn't know swimming or life-saving. It will cause double disaster. So this is why first one has to grow strong within. And many times people consider taking care of yourself is selfish. One has to be selfish in the sense of take care of own self, because by taking care of ourselves, we become more instrumental to serve others. So personal lifestyle needs to be changed. Then it affects own family and society. So if we want to change the society, first we have to transform everyone individually so they have personal peace. And then family has peace. And then it could be extended to the society. Quantum physics says we are all interconnected, so that as we realize the global approach, then we can realize we cannot be self-centered only to take care of ourselves. First we become strong and we become instrumental to provide selfless service. So we have to think about global level, not to limit ourselves only to our own personal life, personal family, or our nation, but to reach out globally and reach out all the living creatures.
Yeah, it seems like the personal transformation, holistic lifestyle with skillful action all are part of a trio of things that need to be taken into consideration. You've also written a book called Wisdom for Living, and although wisdom cannot be one single thing, what would you say would be the most important bit of wisdom that one should live by for a truly balanced, happy life?
Teaching of all the religions, teaching of all the great masters is know thyself. Know thyself means get to know who you really are. So really going inward and exploring who I am, that is permanent. That is the greatest wisdom we can live by. As long as we are in that direction, we find deeper inner wisdom. And this wisdom is really not limited to only scholars. The spiritual wisdom is part of us and is available to all. For that wisdom also, we have to remove outside distraction. what is happening today that disturbs the wisdom is there is so much intellectual information available outside, and people rely on external information, especially those who are seeking spiritual guidance, those who are practicing yoga or yoga teachers. They are looking up to all the scholars who write different philosophies or interpret the scriptures. And many of them, with their smart mind, they have different opinions and different information, and they get students and teachers get confused. So really, mind becomes a hindrance instead of help. So really, one has to experience instead of relying on external source of information, because that information is secondary, diluted. It doesn't give you the power. See, we are in the world, and goal of life is to go beyond the boundaries of the limitation of the world. So first thing, one has to become strong. So don't be slave to the world, so you can utilize your body and mind and become master of yourself. But after that, you go deeper into it so that you serve others. So really, goal of yoga is to escape prison. Spirituality is to escape prison. So prison is slavery to the world, but then other slavery comes by being self-centered and gaining wealth, fame, and power, and not sharing and serving others. So this is the wisdom, to grow and provide more service selflessly. Selfless service gives us the peace. It's a spiritual thing. It is not how many people reach the service, but how much it transforms us just by providing the service. So it is not what is happening, but what our intention is. So wisdom is also in intention. Wisdom is going inward to our real nature and experiencing our true nature is Sat, Chit, and Anand. Sat means we are immortal. We were never born. We will never die. Chitta means consciousness. That means all the wisdom is hidden within us. And Anand means peace and bliss is our nature. So wisdom, true wisdom, is going within, finding peace.
Also, in a recent study by the Corporation for Science Advancement, it was found that there's a trend for non-affiliation with organized religion.
Yes.
And that religion will eventually die out in 9 Western nations as religious groups shrink. So I wanted to know what your thoughts are about this.
Yes. People are rebelling. People get, you know, tired of organized religion. Then what happens? They rebel against organized religion, so rebellion becomes a new religion. You know, it's a circular circular journey. Religions come, new movements come, lots of people get into the movement, religious movement or movement against the religion. And this happened in all the religions. I'm writing in the new book, The Secret of Bliss, some of the old teaching of the great masters, how it is manipulated, how to apply it. So many disciplines they recommended were really true disciplines, but people are following that without understanding. So the contemporary approach is different. So my feeling is people are always questioning, and it's a good sign, because before people followed religion out of temptation of heaven and fear of hell, but now people are questioning, which is a good sign. Also, because of global technology, all the information is available. Okay, so people can really know the truth. So all the dogma won't survive. Then from that standpoint, if all the information is available, people should be enlightened. But on the contrary, people are more confused than ever before, because information doesn't help. They have to go inward, meditate, practice, and apply. So this thing is missing. So question is good thing. Religions will transform, but new religions will come. And that has happened. This is a general trend for humanity. So only few people get enlightened. Most people get caught into the trend.
Can you tell us a little bit about your new book, The Secret of Bliss, and how you're going to incorporate it into your teaching in the upcoming workshops?
Yes. So Secret of Bliss actually explains with several charts how the world is, where we are, and what the goal is. And I am putting the teaching of ancient scriptures, and then I'm using second part is contemporary approach. In ancient scriptures, I'm bringing out Vedanta philosophy, Bhagavad Gita, Sankhya Yoga, Upanishad, Vedanta, Yoga, Gnana Yoga, Raja Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti, Buddhism, meditation, Shankaracharya, and Patanjali Yoga Sutra. I'm interpreting them. So these are all the ancient scriptures. Religions also, basically they are saying bliss, but they are not understood. So I'm explaining. Gita, teaching of Bhagavad Gita, Vedanta, Raja Yoga practice, teaching of Buddha, teaching of Taoism, teaching of Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Shankaracharya, Bhakti movements, quantum physics, all of them actually are pointing toward bliss.
Yes, it seems like that your book, The Secret Bliss, sounds like a really comprehensive book.
All the books are very direct, concise, comprehensive. Not a single sentence is unnecessary. So like each sentence or each paragraph, students use for contemplation. So all the scriptures were written more concise, like sutra. So I'm writing in a kind of along the same style, simple sentences that people can meditate on, and it reaches people at their own level.
Well, it looks like we're coming to an end now, Shanti. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Anywhere any group invites me, I would go and inspire them to love own self, accept themselves, be comfortable, and you cannot change everything overnight. Give up expectation. Serve selflessly. Find joy in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good message. Well, Shanti, it's been my great honor to speak with you, and to reiterate, again, Yogi Shanti Desai will be lecturing at Eastside Yoga in Austin on May 20th, and on May 21st and 22nd, he will be at the Mind Body Yoga in Austin for a weekend intensive based on his new book, The Secret of Bliss. So for more information, please visit eastsideyoga-austin.com or follow the links from yogaforpeace.org. And you can also find out more information about Yogi Shanti Desai at his website, www.yogishantidesai.com. So thank you again for your time, Shanti. I really appreciate hearing your wisdom. And
yeah, it was my joy to share and spread the message.
So namaste.
Namaste. Thank you. Thank you.